Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in the Union Edge. And it's with a great deal of excitement I get to reintroduce my friend Bill Lonergan, president of the Kentucky AFL-CIO. Bill, welcome back.
Hey, Charles. Great to be here. Thanks very much. And hope you're having a great day, and hope all of our listeners are out working safe.
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's nothing like being able to come home from work safely, soundly, spend time with the family. You know, safety on the job is because of unions, weekends and overtime and, 8-hour workday because of unions. Some people tend to forget that, and that's okay. We'll keep reminding them of it. But, you know, it's the boss didn't necessarily give that to us without having that, albeit robust discussion, huh?
Robust discussion. Boy, that's a polite way of saying massive protest and, you know, real hard work on behalf of tens of thousands, maybe millions of workers there to get all that stuff, Charles.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess folks just kind of take for granted nowadays, you know?
Yeah, they do. But you know what? Hey, you know, here's the deal. You know, if we know our history, we know where we come from, we know how we got here. And we'll keep talking about those things. But Bill, I just want to take the opportunity, my hat's off to your folks down with the International Association of Firefighters, Local 345 in Louisville, Kentucky. They're working with a young man, and I may get his last name mispronounced, and I apologize to him, but Kevin Olgan, who 9-year-old young man with cancer. One of the things he wanted to do is be a firefighter. And local 345 made him an honorary firefighter for the day. He got his own uniform, an induction ceremony, a proclamation from the mayor, ride on the fire truck. You know, that's the kind of thing that labor does in Louisville and in other places. And, you know, we don't do it for the pat on the back. We do it because it's the right thing. And that's how we support our communities.
Oh, that's exactly right, Charles. One of the numerous efforts that take place all the time with unions in Louisville, around the state, around the country. UAW has been building wheelchair ramps for people that are in need around our community here. I have built hundreds of them. Recently, of course, we had our food drive, the annual letter carriers and the postal workers food drive, which netted millions of pounds of food for those in need and contributed to the local food banks. The list goes on and on. It's really astounding that folks get this stilted view of what unions are about and what we do and what kind of community support that is evident and ongoing with folks. And firefighters are absolutely a great organization, a group that works hard to save lives every day, Charles, and they go out and go the extra mile to help those in need.
Absolutely, and it's a wonderful thing to see. We hope all is well with that young man, but you know, my goodness, despite that, you know, our firemen will go out and do that, and then we'll turn around and we'll have people, elected officials, say, oh, well, you know, maybe we pay them too much, or maybe they shouldn't have that many days off, or you know, do they really deserve a pension, because all they do is sit around the firehouse anyway. You know, this kind of rhetoric, it's got to stop. You know, this kind of silliness, and it's just coverage for greed. That's all it is.
Well, right, Charles, and it's been going on for so long, and it's had such an effect on people's perceptions on unions that it's really terrible the way they've been, you know, propagandized, I guess is the word that could come to mind when you talk about this kind of thing. And, you know, having control of the media to try and make unions look bad and to, you know, continually denigrate any kind of forward progress that's been made on behalf of workers is really sad, and it's sad that folks buy into it, you know. And I think that with the radio programs that you're putting out, Workers' Voice, Union Edge, and the expansion of these programs, I think is really a good thing. It's something that is going to try and, you know, overcome that echo chamber, as they call it,
right,
of all this negativity. And I want to applaud you again for what you do to get the word out and to have folks get information that they otherwise wouldn't get. So thank you.
Bill, you know, it's our pleasure, and we want to thank you very much for helping make that happen in Kentucky. I mean, you know, think about it for a second, Bill. Kentucky has the only daily labor radio program in the country down south below the Mason-Dixon line that I know of. I don't know of anybody else doing a labor program that's reaching into the southern tier. And we're getting ready to go on in Georgia, in Atlanta, with Charlie Fleming. We've been working with our friends in Tennessee to make that happen. And, Bill, hats off to you, man, because if it wasn't for you, that wouldn't be happening at all.
Well, thanks, Charles, and I think it's important. That's why we want to do that, and that's why you're doing it as well, because there's so few outlets for the information that we talk about, whether it's the firefighters helping a child with cancer or the UAW helping folks get in and out of their houses that are handicapped. You've got so many different things that you can talk about that folks are generally unaware of. And just like you said, they're not doing it for the publicity. That's not the point. You know, the point is to help others. And I think that comes across with what we see in our communities. And, you know, there are so many unsung efforts, Charles. Here in Kentucky, the AFL-CIO, the state federations, and central labor councils have all been working in partnership with other groups and community organizations for decades, Charles, running senior citizens' housing in Kentucky. In fact, nominally speaking, we're one of the largest owners of senior housing in the entire state. In Owensboro, we have, I think it's a 19-story housing complex. We've got one in Paducah. We've got two in Louisville. And those things are run by union members and representatives, community organizations, the elderly. And we work together to try and make sure that those folks have a good living standard, that they have a safe place to live. And it's ongoing effort. It's been going on since the 1960s, Charles. And I doubt very many people actually realize that in Kentucky. And again, it's not to do it for the publicity. It's because it's the right thing to do, and it helps people in our community that so much need to have a good place to live. That's got security and people around them that can help them if they need it.
Yeah, absolutely. And Bill, you know, we need to remind people that those facilities were built by union money. They were built by union people, and they're continuing to be operated and maintained by union people today. So it's a wonderful thing. It's a needed asset for the community. The unions are able to come in, fund the construction project, build it, union, make sure it's done right and it lasts for a long period of time, and then continue on with good paying jobs. Yeah.
Yes. And in fact, as we speak, Charles, we're in the process of renovating several of these facilities right now, have, you know, gotten financing to change over all the different, mechanical systems to make sure all the air conditioning's working and brand new air conditioning units in the Owensboro facility, new elevators, modern elevators. Those buildings are old and they're in need of upgrades, and they're doing it right now in several of the locations. Right now we've got, major construction projects going on with Union Crafts, changing over the entire elevator system and the HVAC systems and things of that nature that are really critical for a good life for people that live in those buildings. So not only did they get built that way, but they're maintained that way. And right now they're being upgraded in the same manner.
Well, there you go. It's a wonderful thing to know that's going on, and we got to talk about it. But listen, Bill, we got to take a short break. We'll come back. We'll talk some more, okay?
Sounds great.
I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.
If you work for a living, listen to the Union Edge. We talk about your issues and find solutions to your problems.
Until 2010, CBS Television's daytime lineup included a long-running soap opera titled As the World Turns. But times change, and now a real-life human drama of profound importance has debuted in America titled As the Generations Turn. It's the inspiring story of our society's continuing struggle to evolve toward equality, dignity, and mutual respect, as well as love for all. The moment came on June 26, when Justice Anthony Kennedy proclaimed from the ornate chamber of the Supreme Court, "The right to marry is a fundamental right inherent in the liberty of the person, and under the Due Process and Equal Protection Clauses of the 14th Amendment, couples of the same sex may not be deprived of that right and that liberty." Kennedy and four other justices voted to make this higher level of inclusiveness the law of the land, but they are not the ones who produced this landmark. Indeed, while the court's ruling debuts a new day, it is the culmination of generations of painful struggle by brave gay and lesbian activists and advocates. And in particular, it's the product of a defiant and determined LGBT movement for equality that arose from the brutal police riot at the Stonewall Club in New York in 1969. This democratic evolution from rank inequality literally came out of America's closet, rising through only a few neighborhoods at first, but then entering the consciousness of today's youth, rejecting the shibboleths, ignorance, fears, and bigotry that has previously permitted such intolerable discrimination. Young people have, in a remarkably short time, created a generational shift in the nation's consciousness. This is Jim Hightower saying, the true supremes are the people themselves, and it's their awakening enlightenment that has transformed marriage equality from yesterday's taboo to today's affirmation of simple justice.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
It's about the work. Work we're proud of. Work that provides the energy that powers America. Work that means our communities are stronger, better, for our families, our neighbors, for everyone. Just like you, members of the United Mine Workers of America are on the job, every day, working hard. It's what we do, and it makes America a better place. The United Mine Workers of America, working families just like yours.
A lost grievance can cost the union big time. And up until now, who's had the better tools? Management. But now there's a new software solution for unions. It's called LaborTrax. Implementing LaborTrax means no more lost paperwork, no more busted timelines, no more management surprises, no more dropped arbitrations. LaborTrax standardizes tracking management and agreement compliance from A to Z, benefiting locals of all sizes. Learn more about LaborTrax at www.labortrax.com.
While college and university tuitions go up and up, higher education administrators have been spending less on students' education. Today, only a quarter of higher ed faculty has secure full-time jobs. The rest are so-called adjunct faculty, hired on a per-course temporary basis, often with no benefits, and are paid just $2,700 on average per course. Dedicated adjunct faculty across the country are joining together and fighting back in defense of their students' future. In Pittsburgh, they have formed the Adjunct Faculty Association, affiliated with United Steelworkers Union. Adjuncts and students all over the city are joining the AFA to achieve the goal of providing high-quality, affordable higher education. To know more or to support Pittsburgh's adjunct faculty, give us a call at 412-562-6967 or find us on the web at usw.org. Again, that's 412-562-6967 or usw.org. Together, we can take higher education back.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate you hanging out with us for the afternoon. We enjoy your company. Joining us from Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky, the AFL-CIO down there, we've got Bill Londrigan. Bill, welcome back.
Hey, Charles. Thank you. Great to be here.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure, Bill. Hey, you know, Bill, you guys are already gearing up for silly season, the elections, and you guys have your candidates lining up. What's going on?
Oh, a lot, actually. We've got a lot of campaigning going on. Last week, our candidate, Jack Conway, who was the sitting attorney general, came to Louisville to have breakfast with all of his friends in organized labor, and we had a great breakfast with him and several others, our constitutional officers as well, who are also running for office this cycle.
Kentucky is the only one of three states, Charles, with a governor's race this year. So there'll be a lot of focus on this state and on this race. You know, Charles, it's just like any place else around the country where the right wing, the Koch brothers funded organizations, Americans for Prosperity, and all those folks will be coming in here in droves with unlimited amounts of undisclosed money to try and take over our state government, take over our governor's office, and as well as our constitutional offices. And if they get away with that, you know, that's just, they're going to turn back the clock on our workers here, just like they've done in so many other states, like Wisconsin and Michigan, and you name it. So certainly is a really important time for workers in Kentucky to get informed and be participating when we get to November.
You know, Bill, it's funny that you mentioned that, because last week we were talking about some of the organizations here in Pennsylvania. One of the organizations that we have is the Commonwealth Foundation. Mm-hmm. And our friends up in Michigan are dealing with the Mackinac Center.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys, with that silly right to work for less county by county thing that you guys pretty much nipped in the bud, you know, we're seeing the same players. I mean, the same law firms. We're seeing the same funding sources. We're seeing the same old tired rhetoric. You know, oh, right to work. We're just bringing it because we want to. Yeah, because it's a kumbaya moment kind of deal. You know, when they're lying to workers in the state, in Kentucky and Michigan and Pennsylvania and other places, they're lying to the counties, they're lying to the businesses, they're lying to the politicians. You know, they're making all these outrageous claims that, you know, right to work increases productivity. No, it doesn't. And it doesn't increase profits either, really. You know, and there are still, you know, Barnum and Bailey, I think they had it right. One's born every minute, you know, and it's the same old tired rhetoric. And you know, we talk about how labor needs to communicate. The same people that were in Kentucky are the same people talking about the same issues in Pennsylvania, trying it slightly different, are the same people that tried it up in Michigan. And the only thing I seem to see that every time they come into town, they start throwing money around like carpetbaggers is more people sign up for the union.
Yes, and I think you're exactly right. Here in Kentucky, with their effort to pass these so-called county right-to-work ordinances, we've seen an actual benefit on that effort on our side, Charles, because it's allowed us to be more effectively communicate our issues and our position on this, and more people, more and more workers, more and more political representatives have found out about right to work thanks to this effort. They found out about the lies that have been told over and over again, and we have informed them of the other side of the story and the true facts about it. And when we've done that, it's made a huge difference. And you know, it's awakened a lot of folks to the whole you know, effort that's gone on here that is, you know, being orchestrated from out of state by real wealthy billionaires that are trying to take over our nation and push these right to work laws to weaken labor so they can make more money and wages go down. So, Charles, it's been a benefit here in the sense that more and more folks know what it is, because it's obviously not called exactly what it turns out to be. And folks, when they get the facts, are much more likely to reject it wholesale. And that's what we've seen over and over again, county after county. So the elected representatives, whether they're Democrat or Republican, once they're given the facts, they see right through the lies and the subterfuge that's put forth.
Right. And Bill, you know, the funny thing about it is the demands keep getting sillier and sillier as we go along. Those groups, those types are representing a person here in Pennsylvania. And this person saying that, well, I don't want to pay union dues, and I don't want to pay service fees. And they base it on a religious exemption, which I still don't know what religion here in the United States bars union membership. I mean, Jesus was a carpenter. You know,
and Charles, the ironic part of that whole argument is that there's already an exemption that's been put forth through the courts for those with a religious preference to not pay a fee to a union, and that it allows them to actually pay the amount of the fee to a charitable organization.
Right,
stuff they can do.
Right, and that's a well-established tradition with labor, you know, but it has to be a mutually agreed upon organization. And there is a list with most states. I'm sure in your state, you've got a list that's about a yard long, just like we have in Pennsylvania. But this individual's demanding that, you know, their dues money go to organizations that are, you know, counter to unionization here in the United States. And the long and short is, you know, despite the fact that there is that list and it's recognized under the law in the state of Pennsylvania, this person's demanding that some of these organizations that are out there are the recipients of the dues. It's really kind of, you know, kind of counterproductive all the way around.
Yeah, it's kind of disturbing in a sense too, is that you know, folks that truly don't want to pay union dues or a fee. Charles, they keep reminding us of the fact that we've got 8 or 9% of the private sector workforce organized, and it seems to me my math is about 90% of the workplaces out there that don't have a union, that if a person is so predisposed against being a part of one or paying a fee to get the services, then maybe they should choose those 90% of the workplaces and not have to worry about that, you know?
Well, you know, there's a lot to be said for that. There's a lot to be said for that. And, you know, quite honestly, if I really want my dues money to go to some, well, questionable organization. I'm just going to leave it at that. And I'm not identifying any organization. When I'm saying a questionable organization, or if I want to pay to that organization, do it on your own time. Do it on your own dime. I mean, you know, I'm not sure that, you know, some of these organizations that are out there are a good fit for one of the unions to be supporting.
Exactly. And I think, you know, Charles, this whole just gets back to that whole question of, you know, where these candidates that we have here in Kentucky actually stand on this right to work issue. And, of course, our endorsed candidate, Jack Conway, is dead set against it. He knows the issues. He knows the rationale. He's participated in our federal lawsuit against the county right to work ordinances. He's filed an amicus brief on our behalf, in our position, so to speak. As well as filing an attorney general's opinion that really outlined the legal parameters of what right to work is about and how it can't be used at the county level. So, you know, the other candidate, of course, is, you know, all the way down the line, you know, his issues are counter to ours. He doesn't even think minimum wage is constitutional, he said. So, I mean, there's just a clear difference on where the candidates will line up on issues that are important to people that work for a living.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, listen, Bill, with that, we got to get going. We will talk to you again soon. Bill Londrigan of the Kentucky AFL-CIO. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.